Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. There's no question anymore that we are living in a new era of diversity on television. The questions right now, will new ventures like Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Peacock, and Echo lead the way to the next level? If not, what developments will? Stand by for answers from Oscar So White founder and organizer April Rain when she joins me next in an internet radio exclusive from Washington, D.C. Also ahead, a diversity trailblazer, Diane Carroll, passes away. Bizarro times ahead of DC Universe, a Suez war story, our classic trivia question, and what you can learn from 20-somethings. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Ackerman. I'm simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow I'll be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later on this hour. 66 degrees at the top of the hour, and we welcome you on this Friday, first quarter of October 2019, to the program All About Television. Good guests for you in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone ring from you. So make it happen at this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We've got a chat room in business at the moment, and it's ready to hear from you. So get into SimonApple04 by name. That's the room, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can get connected with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker stream, while the instructions of other people can be live with you. April Rain is live with us in the nation's capital after these news notes. Diane Carroll, singer, actress, and groundbreaker in television entertainment, died earlier today. She passed away in her Los Angeles home after several years battling cancer. In 1968, Carroll became one of the first women of color to star in a television series, Julia, a comedy about an aerospace nurse raising a child on her own. The series ran 3 seasons on NBC, with Carroll earning an Emmy nomination for the role. She returned to series TV playing as fashion magnate Dominique Devereaux on Dynasty and split up the Colbys during the 1980s. Before Julia, Carroll was a guest on numerous variety series and dramas, including an Emmy-nominated 1963 role on the ABC series Naked City. Post-Dynasty, she guest starred on made-for-TV movies and series from Grey's Anatomy to White Collar, earning 2 more Emmy nominations along the way and induction to the Television Hall of Fame 8 years ago. Diane Carroll was 84. She is survived by daughter, producer, and journalist Suzanne Kay. And we should point out in addition that in 1975, she had a great team-up with James Earl Jones in the award-winning movie Claudine, and she won a Tony Award for theater work in the musical No Strings, a musical role that was written especially for her by the great composer Richard Rodgers. It was his first score, by the way, after the passing of his partner for so many years, Oscar Hammerstein. Once again, Diane Carroll, dead today at the age of 84. And our guests will have more to say about her TV career in a little bit. With Disney Plus set to premiere mid-November, parent Walt Disney decided not to run any more Netflix ads on ABC, Freeform, or FX. The call, explained by a company spokesperson, reflects on, I quote, "the comprehensive business relationships we have with many of those companies," unquote, referring to direct-to-consumer offerings through smart TV sets and products. For now, Netflix fans will continue playing on ESPN, ESPN2, and other ESPN services. It looks like DC Universe will continue as a smart TV set and device-assured adventure next year. The WarnerMedia-backed project is pairing Bizarro TV, a hybrid live-action animated anthology series featuring way-offbeat DC characters from Space Cabby to Ambush Bug. At a New York Comic-Con event, DC Universe announced November 29th will be the debut of long-expected animated series Harley Quinn. And finally, for news notes, the drama of supernatural forces during the 1956 Suez War is in formation. Labor, which will be produced in English, Hebrew, and French, involves soldiers from England, Israel, and France who, while fighting in the Suez War, are impacted by these forces. Hart and Court TV, based in Paris, and co-producing the upcoming Hulu series Fertile Consent, will put Labor together with other international TV organizations. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live in an internet radio exclusive from Washington, D.C., the founder and organizer of Oscar So White, April Rain. April, welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me today.
It is a pleasure. And first of all, your thoughts on the passing of Diane Carroll.
Well, it's a tremendous loss for the entertainment industry. You know, as you mentioned, she is the first black woman in history to star in her own TV series, which was called Julia in the late 60s. She was also the first black woman to win a Tony Award for lead actress in a musical. I had the honor and privilege of meeting Ms. Carroll a few years ago. We actually appeared on a panel together at the Hammer Museum in Los Angeles, and she was just as regal as you would expect. So it is a tremendous loss, but definitely a lifelong and well-lived.
I had the opportunity growing up, April, to watch Julia on NBC. It ran for 3 seasons on Tuesday nights. It was wonderful from start to finish. She gave a great performance. And the thing that I loved about her, and then later on discovering her work on Dynasty and on Grey's Anatomy and on variety performances like the Gary Moore Show, the Eddie Williams Show, and so on in the late 50s, early 60s, was the fact that she was not only so beautiful, had a fantastic voice, acted beautifully, but that she always appeared very grounded in her life. She played, in the case of Julia, a grounded woman trying to raise a child as a single parent and doing it with grace and with sensitivity and with a sense of values.
I think that's exactly right. I had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to meet her, and we had discussions on stage and off about her insistence with respect to the characters that she played. You know, as you mentioned, she did not want to play in subservient roles. She, you know, was a character that was fully developed every time you saw her on screen. So whether it was something like Claudine, in which she was the star with James Earl Jones, or even, you know, playing a much smaller role, playing Whitley Gilbert's mother in A Different World that many of us remember her from. She, you know, she was an amazing figure, both on and off the camera, because she insisted that her roles have some weight and some depth to them.
And that was consistent. And whether it was a singing role or an acting role, as you said, that was the consistency thing. She wanted to play people that were three-dimensional, that were relatable, that were not stereotypes. You could find yourself in that role as a person, and that's what made her a very special human being and such a groundbreaking force in TV.
Absolutely. She will definitely be a loss, but, and there are so many actresses who stand on her shoulders, and singers, in fact, because, you know, she was a singer as well. So many folks who will stand on her shoulders, and she opened the door for so many. So we are definitely thankful for her long and storied career and hope that she will rest well now.
Absolutely, she rests in peace, and rests in peace eternally. And also, it was wonderful to see in the last couple of hours the wonderful social media response from people like Debbie Allen, like Ava DuVernay, Holly Robinson Peete, who she considered a Carol role model, people from all walks of life, not just entertainment, who really were touched and inspired by Carol and by what she did for television, what she did for entertainment. She was a magnificent talent. And the fact that she got 4 Emmy nominations for different aspects of her work, and also the TV Academy Hall of Fame in 2011, I think speaks volumes of what she did and the profound difference she made in the world of television. And speaking of profound differences, what's your thoughts right now about where diversity is at in television?
I always think that in television, in film, and in theater, it is always 2 steps forward and 1 step back. So most recently, we had the Emmy Awards, and there were a couple of wins for people from marginalized communities. And I'm not just speaking about race. I'm also speaking about sexual orientation and gender in some categories as well. And while we have made strides, there's still so much more that can be done to ensure that people from traditionally underrepresented communities are receiving the opportunities that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. How does it compare with the area of entertainment you've been dealing with Oscars So White, the film industry? Is TV better, equal, below film and below the Oscars?
Well, it's hard to say. It's obviously that we've got more democratization among TV, right? As you mentioned, there are so many more streaming services on TV. So whether you want to get your news from Hulu or Amazon Prime or Netflix or any of the other ones, you know, when I was growing up, there were four channels available, and they went off at a certain time at night. And now we've got 24/7 television, which means that there are a lot more options. And so that is a way that the playing field has been leveled a bit and makes it easier for underrepresented communities to have their work on TV as opposed to film, where, you know, we may get 300 films for the entire year, and many of those still go through the legacy studios like Paramount and 20th Century Fox. I think the difference with film that we're seeing now is that a lot of actors and actresses are also becoming producers and creating their own production companies because they're going around those legacy studios so that they can create the work that they want to see on screen. So in general, TV is doing a little bit better, but that's just because there are more options available.
You're hearing April Rain. She is the founder and organizer of Oscars So White, which has helped get profound change in both the film industry and the entertainment industry overall. She joins us live from Washington, D.C. this half hour with her thoughts on TV diversity on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this first Friday of October, 2019. Hope you're doing great wherever you are. Those of you who are Jewish listeners, we hope you're starting off your new year really great and getting ready for a very important Yom Kippur holiday next Tuesday and Wednesday. And if you have a question or comment for April, be involved. Get interactive with us at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow We Televised, one of the top analysts covering the field will join us. He used to be the Magid. Now he's on his own. Mike Borehouse of Borehouse Advisors. He's the chief executive officer there. He's just come out with an interesting study about the status of smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and the interest level in services going through them soon, like Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, and so on. Mike Borehouse will join us live on Monday. Next Friday, we'll speak to somebody who has some very interesting roles to play in television. Her name is Gloria Lee, and she keeps on keeping on, and she will be one of our guests next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Talk about the role that Netflix and Amazon and other such services using smart TV sets and smart devices play. For example, Netflix alone has given us shows like Orange the New Black, which is very, very diverse in all sorts of ways, both in front and behind the camera, such shows as Woo Assassins, and on and on and on.
Well, I think that it's fantastic that we have more options than we've ever had before. You know, there's a reason why we see people like Shonda Rhimes, like Kenya Barris, signing these, first look or exclusive deals with Netflix and other streaming services, because they realize that the best way for them to get all types of creativity out that they want to do is going through some of these other, you know, technically you can call Netflix still a startup organization with respect to movies, right? I remember when we used to just get get one DVD in the mail, and now Netflix is winning Emmys and Oscars because of their content. So it's fantastic. What we also have to be concerned with, though, is an oversaturation. You know, there are several more that have been discussed this year. We've got Peacock and Echo and Disney Plus all coming. And so people are turning away from cable and those, you know, massive bundles that they typically have. But when you're, you know, sort of nickel and diming and $8 a month and $10 a month and $15 a month, it actually ends up in some cases being more than what your cable bill was, depending on the services and the stations and channels that you choose. So we as consumers have to be incredibly smart about supporting those channels, those networks that we appreciate, that are showing people from diverse backgrounds. And, you know, and again, everything, the goal is for everything to be normalized. So if you're a person with disabilities, we don't need to have an entire episode about the fact that you are in a wheelchair, for example, if you've got a visible disability, but we just want to see you, you know, moving and doing everything that everyone else does in your wheelchair, and normalize the fact that you have a disability, but it is just one facet of your being, just like the fact that I have long hair and someone else may have short hair.
We have a person, by the way, just entered our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or a comment for April, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's a very interesting point you just made, that even with the fact that you have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and other services, CBS All Access, all of which have made, I think, very important, diverse contributions. And also many of them, as well as other places, giving long-term contracts to a Shonda Rhimes, to an actress like Regina King, to a new talent like animator Elizabeth Ito, to the Obamas, et cetera, that we can't forget what the cable and broadcast networks are doing. And I think in terms of cable, we have really seen some people step up, like Showtime, for example, with Lena Waithe and The Chi, like the Oprah Winfrey Network with Queen Sugar from Ava DuVernay, and more recently, it's one of my top 10 for top 5 shows for 2019, David Makes Men. If you haven't seen that show, by the way, Wednesday the 10th, get out there and see it, from Terrell Alvin McCraney, the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight. It's magnificent in terms of its uniqueness and also what it's out to do in dealing with the life of a African-American child who is trying to make it in society and get out of the projects in Miami. It seems that the diversity of the terror also, the terror infamy on AMC, and they just announced a new show, 61st Street, that will be Michael B. Jordan, I believe, is going to be the actor, director, producer, entrepreneur is now getting involved with, that you're seeing across the board diversity, and you say it's important for all of that to flourish.
It has to be, right? I said Oscar so white almost 5 years ago now, but it really applies to the entire industry, and it is not just race-based. So I want to be incredibly clear about that. Oscar so white was about all traditionally underrepresented communities. So that's with respect to age, that's with respect to gender, sexual orientation, identity, disability, First Nation status. So again, you know, we want to see the people who are sitting at, you know, on their couches at home or in the movie theaters in the dark, who have paid their well-earned, you know, $12 or $15, should be able to see themselves represented on screen, whomever they are, however they move through the world. That's why it's so important that we have a show like Pose on FX, right? And it was fantastic that Billy Porter won this year and he was the first openly gay black actor to be nominated and win in the lead actor category. But at the same time, we need to talk about the fact that it is 2019 and we are still talking about first. I would love to be past that stage where everyone has already been recognized and it is just a normal everyday occurrence that, you know, the first trans person is nominated. You know, for example, Laverne Cox was nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Drama Series. That was the first time that an openly trans woman had been nominated. There's no reason why. I'm sorry, that in 2014, that was the first time that she was nominated for that Emmy. But there's no reason why we are still talking about first this late in the game. And that means that there needs to be more opportunities for everyone from a marginalized community to see at least a facet of themselves on screen. Obviously, nobody is a monolith. No community is a monolith. So, you know, if I say let's have more Latinx folks on the screen, you know, that's everything from Narcos to One Day at a Time and everything in between. But let's show more everyday life of regular people that are walking around in the world. You know, you think about older shows like Sex and the City and Girls, you know, from HBO. You know, I'm in New York. I know you're in New York. I'm in New York all the time. You can't walk down the street without hearing several different languages, without seeing, you know, several different hues of, you know, shades of people. And yet those TV shows that were on for years were notoriously devoid of any people of color. You can think about Friends on TV. You know, so they're supposed to be in New York, and they, for many years, didn't even have, you know, a server working at Central Perk who is a person of color or a person with a disability. There's no reason why that should be happening. And so that's why I say the Oscars come, the Emmys come, all of the awards come at the end of the season, but the real change must begin on the page. We need to be talking about how people are cast, you know, what the screenwriters, what the television show writers are doing on the page and what decisions they're making from the very beginning in how their show is going to look.
Well, let's get right into that. How do we do that? And let's realize, of course, to start that there's no silver bullet here. You have to deal with this at all sorts of levels, as you pointed out. Do we do it with more diversity programs? Do we do it with more episodic labs, as we have seen start to emerge from places like Imagine Impact, Brian Grazer and Ron Howard's company, which is focusing on people of color, such as Women in Film LA and The Blacklist, which just announced their latest, I think, the fourth episodic lab, again, aimed at more women of color, Sundance with their episodic lab, other training programs, commitments from people like Ava DuVernay saying, you know, when I do a show like Queen Sugar, I will have a different group of directors, particularly women of color, direct my show. Or a Ryan Murphy who says, I've got this half initiative where half of my shows will be directed by women, no matter what show I'm doing.
I think it's both and. There's no reason why we can't do all of that. You know, you mentioned Ava DuVernay, who has been fantastic in several seasons of Clean Sugar. Every single episode has been directed by a woman. And that's important because people don't realize behind the scenes, you can direct all the movies that you want to, but it may still be very hard for you to break into TV and vice versa. You know, you would think that it's automatic. Oh, well, you know, they've directed a $10 million or $50 million movie. Clearly, they can direct a TV show. That's not necessarily true, right? But Ava said, this is the commitment that I'm making. And she's also talking to directors with various levels of experience, which is fantastic because it's giving them a shot. It allows them to get in the SAG. It allows, you know, and it provides more opportunities from that one episode. The episodic labs are fantastic. You know, Sundance does a great one. You mentioned Franklin Leonard's The Blacklist, which is always amazing and incredibly helpful in getting screenplays to screen. But everyone in the industry needs to take it upon themselves to be thoughtful about how they are staffing and creating their shows, both in front of and behind the camera, because it's not just the actors that we see on the screen as consumers. It's also the directors. It's also the showrunners. It's also the writers. You know, you mentioned Orange is the New Black. They have a very diverse cast, but they were called out a few years ago because they had no people of color in the writing room writing for these people of color on the screen. And so when they killed off Puse a few seasons ago, and it was sort of a Black Lives Matter tinged episode, it was not received well because there was no one in the writer's room who understood the nuance of what needed to happen on screen. So that's an important, you know, so just seeing the faces is not enough when you don't have people who have background and context who can write for those faces.
We're speaking with April Ray, and the founder and owner of Oscars So White. She's with us live from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're aboard as well on this first Friday of October 2019, the 4th. Simon Appleman with you live from New York on the program All About Television, coming your way on Block Talk Radio Speaker and also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment on remaining minutes with April, ring the phone 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04. Maybe just another person going in the room, so be involved. We really appreciate it. By the way, coming up in future weeks on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have the executive producer of a brand new, very important new documentary miniseries on Starz called Leavenworth. It's about one of the most unique military trials that ever took place in this country. And we will have the two executive producers, Paul Polanski and David Sheck, who worked with Steven Soderbergh in the making of this new Star series coming late this fall. And we'll also have, 2 weeks from Monday, the creator and showrunner of the brand-new NBC series with Bradley Whitfield, Perfect Harmony, on Thursday night, Leslie White Webster. That's all coming up in future weeks right here this month on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. BET Plus just launched a few weeks ago with two new series, one of them headed by a woman of color, Tracy Oliver, First Wives Club, and also Bigger from Will Packer. And then we've got coming up Apple TV Plus November 1st, Disney Plus November 12th, HBO Max early 2020, Peacock April 2020, et cetera. What's your take on all of these services, and what do you sense they're going to bring with diversity?
It's hard to know. I mean, Tracy Oliver and Will Packer are incredibly well respected, in the industry because they are very thoughtful about diversity and inclusion in every facet of the shows and films on which they work. But there has to be original content. You know, I think there are a lot of us who are a little tired of the reboots. It seems like every time we turn around, either there's a sequel or a reboot from something that we may remember from the 80s or the 90s. And yet there are so many content creators out there with original ideas original thoughts about, you know, different ways that we can handle films and TV shows. So I think that each one of these new streaming services and subscription services that you mentioned are going to have to really drill down carefully and ensure that they are being thoughtful to their demographic, whomever their customer base is, and bringing original shows and something new that we haven't seen before, because there are so many options out there. If people get bored, they're going to challenge, you know, the, and let their subscription expire and try something else for 30 days or more.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, one of the shows that Apple TV Plus is going to launch on November 1st is a show called C. It's a post-apocalyptic drama set in a world where most everybody is blind. And I can tell you that I know that there have been some blind or legally blind actors and actresses that have been cast. We would love to get a hold of the people producing the show, because I'd like to find out how much diversity has been put, both diversity among disabled people and diversity among people of color and women, figure into that series. But I think it's going to be a very interesting thing to see how that is showcased and how that series gets accepted or not by the viewer. One final question. Is there a direction, April, that TV should be doing to increase diversity that it is not doing, whether it is providing funding by venture capitalist angel investors in people of color who want to launch their own production companies or finance companies to finance new programming or interactive services? Is it programs that help get women in such roles as director of photography and film editing and some of the important, you know, back jobs or technical jobs or craft jobs in television? What do you see as not being done now that you think should be done in terms of advancing diversity beyond where it is now?
Yeah, I think they should be consulting with you, because you've got some fantastic ideas. And again, there's nothing that says that we can't do all of those things, because they're going to help the bottom line. You know, literally at this point, the more diverse your show or your film is, the more money it makes, whether it's in advertising or ticket sales or whatever the case may be. That's been proven now time and time again. And so the studios and the networks who are not thinking in every way about diversity and inclusion are leaving money on the table, which makes no sense whatsoever. So I think all of that is true. I would love to see more networks employ inclusion writers, as has been discussed in film, right? And so again, it's not just the faces that we see, but let's also talk about who is behind the camera as the director, as the showrunner, as the writer, and also the best boys and the key grips and the makeup artists, everybody. You know, let's make sure that they're all being lifted from underrepresented communities. And then, you know, once people get on set, it's important that they leave the door open to others to come behind them and lift as they climb. It's also important for those of us consumers to talk about those shows and films that we truly enjoy. I am definitely not saying that we should reward mediocrity, because that is antithetical to what I believe. I don't think we should watch a show just because it has, you know, a person of color in it, or you know, go to a movie just because it's got a, you know, a Latinx lead or a black lead. I'm definitely not saying that. But we should talk about the fact that if we see a film or a TV show in which there could be a marginalized person in that role, a person with a disability, a person that with a different race or sexual orientation, we should talk about it, right? Because there are times when, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and we should call people and studios and networks out on those things. At the same time, if we think that shows and films are doing it well, we should talk them up amongst our friends. We should talk about it on social media. There's a reason why there are particular shows that trend every single week on social media, because people are talking about them. That leads to ad revenue, that leads to shows being renewed season after season, and that leads to additional work for those actors and the people behind the camera to do even more and better things. So we have to make sure that we are supporting when necessary, but that we are also calling out or calling in shows and films that still have a way to go. You know, you mentioned, or I'll just talk about, you know, the fact that there are films like Eddie Redmayne played a trans woman in The Danish Girl several years ago, right? And we had Jeffrey Tambor before the allegations played a trans woman in Transparent. And there was no reason why trans actresses could not have played that role. And that's something, you know, relatively easy to solve that I'm talking about. It's not like there's any lack of trans actresses in the world. You know, we've seen that from Pose, right? So they're clearly out there and ready and willing to work. So studios and networks need to be more mindful when they're casting folks and deciding, you know, if you've decided when you're writing a screenplay or you're writing a script that your protagonist in the show or the film is a tall, leggy blonde and she, you know, she's going to be your action hero, you know, you write that out. And then when it gets, you know, by the producer and the director and you're ready to cast, the first person they're thinking about is Jennifer Lawrence or ScarJo, right? And that makes sense because that's how you wrote her. But now let's take a beat and say, what does her hair color have to do with her ability to leap tall buildings in a single bound? Probably nothing, right? So then let's go back to the drawing board and say, why does that person have to be blonde? Can she be brunette? And if she can be a brunette, then why can't she be a woman of color? And if she can be a woman of color, why can't she be a queer woman of color, right? And keep drilling down as far as you can to make the character have more depth, have more interest, appeal to more people, right? Because if a story is written well, if it is acted well, then people will watch it or people will buy a movie to see it. We've seen that way too many times to think that is not the case. And so script writers, screenwriters, producers, movie studios, TV networks need to be more thoughtful with respect to what the new shows for 2020 and beyond are going to look like, because the consumer is much more discerning than they have ever been before.
And four other thoughts, observations on what else can be done in diversity, and not the whole picture, but at least a few things, maybe some directions to work on before we wrap things up. First of all, it's great to see that more people of color, women of color, are forming their own production companies. And more of them should be funded by venture capitalists, by angel investors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whether it's content or technology. Secondly, more TV festivals and more film festivals becoming TV festivals, as Rebecca has done, Sundance has done also to some degree, where there are more opportunities for women and people of color to showcase their work. And third, great to support people like Byron Allen and Tyler Perry and Steve Harvey and other folks who want to create mega enterprises that will involve a lot of different television. And finally, to encourage people of color to get involved in developing areas of TV like interactive television, which are really going to be setting the stage for what is to come. And that's for scripted, unscripted, all sorts of areas, because that's the next frontier, folks, for TV. And to sum it all up, as the late Robert F. Kennedy said, some people look at the world the way it is and say, why? I look at the way of the world the way it is and ask, why not? If you want more details about Oscars So Why and What April is doing, here's where you go online. It's www.rainofapril. That's rain, R-E-I-G-N, of April.com. It's www.rainofapril.com. I promise you, it's very important reading on the web. April Rain, the founder and organizer of Oscars So Why, thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. Let's have you back soon. And thank you for all the great work you are doing with your followers to advance diversity on television and in all of entertainment. It's been a delight to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed the conversation today.
Same here, and let's hope for more. Take care, April. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
April Rain, joining us live from Washington, D.C. When we come back, we'll have our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. We'll have an update on one of our guests from last month. And, yes, you can learn something about television from 20-something. I did this past Wednesday here in New York. More about that and more after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. It's www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com, together reaching more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio and Speakers are home for conversations on real life. Mental illness is the topic of the next conversation. Check it out this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Conversations on real life exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. And YouTube on smart TV sets and smart devices, too. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Tell Lies for this first Friday of October 2019, the 4th. 7 Applebound with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. 6:63 at the top of the hour. And coming up, our classic trivia question of the week, an up segment, and what it's like to learn from 20-somethings about where TV is going. We'll explain all that, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. One of syndicated TV's new personalities on the talk show is Mel Robbins, who started a show a couple weeks ago, distributed by Sony, and one of her newest books is now available in audio format through Audible, and it's a brand new one of originals called Work It Out, How You Can Better Yourself as a Person, especially if you're a woman, and go from there. And Work It Out is available to you right now if you get a trial run for a month with Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information, and they have over 180,000 titles to choose from. A growing number of those titles are Audible Originals, first-run audio programming, also the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from across the U.S. of A., and original one-woman and one-man shows. And the best thing is, whatever the title is, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And all you got to do to enjoy is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised, and you get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them Audible Originals, for a month to try out, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And if you continue, you get your choice of 3 audiobooks per month. So give it a try. Nothing to lose, everything to gain, and you can hear for yourself why Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. For those 3 free audiobooks and 1 month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're still waiting for an answer to our current question. And if you're first with that answer, it's 2 books in play for you. The 300 Rules, Say Less to Get More from Any Picture Presentation by recent guest Brent Pindinick. And The Comeback, How Innovation Will Restore the American Dream by the president of the Consumer Technology Association, Mr. CES himself, Gary Shapiro, with a foreword by Shark Tank judge Mark Cuban, and much, much more. And here's the question. How many seasons on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, which just started record-breaking number 21 a few weeks ago on NBC, how many seasons on Law & Order Special Victims Unit did Olivia Benson, played by Mariska Hargitay, how many did she have a partner? How many seasons of Law & Order Special Victims Unit did Olivia Benson have a partner? We did have an answer a couple days ago. Close, but no cigar. So if you got the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the 3-minute rule and the comeback, How Innovation Will Restore the American Dream by Consumer Technology Association President Gary Shapiro, with a foreword by Mark Cuban. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we don't get a chance to replay before we leave you, then check out tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. That's on Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So play, all right? And all the very best. Now it's time for a quick up as an update where we catch up on some of the guests and topics we had in this program. Last month, we introduced you to an entrepreneur who had a company called Comedy Dynamics, which is part of another company called The Sale. His name is Brian Volk-Weiss. Comedy Dynamics has done everything from comedy stand-up specials to a Netflix series about toys. He's also doing the new remake of Mad About You that premieres November 20th on Charter through Spectrum Originals. Well, it was announced earlier today that he is teaming up with none other than The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who is going to be presenting Friday Night SmackDown on Fox tonight. And he is doing a new series for Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction. It's 10 one-hour episodes where every episode deals with a different attraction at Disneyland, Disney World, or Shanghai or Tokyo Disneyland. Again, it's called Behind the Attraction, and we don't know if it will premiere when Disney Plus debuts November 12th or shortly after. We'll keep you posted. So once again, Brian Volk-Weiss teaming up with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and his production company to do Behind the Attraction, one of the new unscripted shows coming on Disney Plus. And now, a closing comment. Every semester, fall, spring, I get the wonderful opportunity here in New York to address students of New York University's Stern School of Business. I've been doing this the last couple of years, 2 classes at a shot, and I do it through the wonderful blessing of a terrific professor, Al Lieberman, who's also involved in the annual Future TV Forum that's done every year at the Museum of Jewish History in Battery Park City at the tip of Manhattan. And trust me, when you come into these sessions, there is always an opportunity to learn from the students. And boy, does Professor Lieberman, or as they call him, Professor Al, boy, does he have very good students on the ball. In the last couple of years, when I've addressed his classes, I've asked this question. Show of hands. How many of you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device? Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, VideoShield, TouchWave, Wave, etc. 2 years ago, a few people raised their hands in each class. Last year, half of each class raised their hands. This past Wednesday, in both the classes in the afternoon, I asked that same question. And in both classes, the majority of students, it's like 30 to 50 in each class, the majority raised their hands. The hands shot up, enthusiastic. And in listening to their questions afterward, you could tell that they don't just buy the device, they don't just buy the set, they are watching. And don't get me wrong, these are 20-somethings who, under the guidance of professors like Al Lieberman, great guidance, I might add, that they will become the future leaders of television. And they span everybody, people of color, disabled, etc. And we are seeing that multicultural majority of households use and watch smart TV sets and smart devices. I keep learning a lot from 20-somethings, from the questions they ask and how they listen to you and how you come across to them. And let me tell you, this adventure this past Wednesday spoke volumes about where we are going in television on two levels. One, smart TV sets and smart TV devices are where it's at. These people do not just watch television on smartphones and tablets and laptops. They watch on television, and they will continue to. And secondly, these are the people who are going to be the future leaders of television. These are the people that April Rain, I think, can be very happy, are going to bring this medium to super levels we can't even imagine yet. So if you ever wonder why I come across, hopefully, as very optimistic, maybe more optimistic than other people who follow television about where this medium is going, no secret why. Just have a conversation with some 20-somethings at a place like New York University's Stern School of Business. It's so easy to learn. And believe me, these 20-somethings will teach you in the end. Again, I want to thank April Rain from Oscars for Life for being with us. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And coming up Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll hear from Mike Borehouse, the former executive at Meggitt. Now he runs his own company as chief executive of Borehouse Advisors. And his group has come up with a very interesting new study about smart TV sets and smart devices and television's future along with it. That's on Monday. And on Friday, we'll hear from Gloria Lee. She's been doing some unique jobs in the world of television as a person of color, and we'll get her thoughts about where things are going, including diversity. And then the following Monday, we'll have Paul Pawlowski and David Check, the executive producer with Steven Soderbergh of the New Stars documentary miniseries, Leavenworth. And the following Monday, we'll have among our guests the creator and showrunner of new NBC series, Perfect Harmony, Leslie White Webster, and more to come. If you missed today's episode, or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, or you came late on today's episode, I should say, don't forget, we always give you an opportunity to catch up. All you got to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, we're available soon after on podcast, available at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And for the latter, go to www.iHeartRadio.com, click Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, and you get our shows. You can also find me with Tomorrow Be Televised columns at MediaVillage.com. And I just came up with a column that I think will be out early next week about Paramount Network and how Yellowstone, which is a big hit Trying to be one of the big shows on cable this past summer in its second season, how that is dictating how Paramount Network will do in terms of identity down the road with the original program. I think you'll find it very interesting and very informative reading. And not only do you catch my columns, but columns by great people like Ed Martin, E.B. Moss, Charlie Weiser, Juan Ayala, and many, many more. That's Media Village, the media destination website for leadership at MediaVillage.com. And yesterday, I had the wonderful fortune of taping an episode of FDH Lounge with my favorite radio host, Rick Morris, and Roy Carroll. He is the sports columnist and TV columnist for the Queens Chronicle. We've had this wonderful thing happen to us with FDH Lounge, usually once or twice a year, and we had our say, I promise you that. So if you want to catch the FDH Lounge, catch it tomorrow at various great podcasts like Google Podcasts, and many, many others, including Stitcher Radio, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and many, many more. So check out the FDH Lounge with yours truly and Lloyd Carroll, the Queen's Chronicle, starting late tomorrow on your favorite websites for podcasts, including Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Stitcher, YouTube, and more. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about today's show? It was quite provocative on Oscars So Television, Oscar So White's founder, talking about where TV diversity is at and where it's going. I'd love to hear what you thought about her. What's your thoughts about the great Diane Carroll and her contribution to diversity with her acting and singing on various television programs and her groundbreaking roles on Julian Dynasty? Love to hear from you about that, too. And, of course, your thoughts about where TV is at, generally, and where it's going. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Don't forget, we're going to close your name and where you're from so that we can respond to you. Do respond to emails in 24 hours. Don't forget, that's how you get involved in our classic community question of the week. One more time, our question at the moment, how many seasons of Law & Order Special Victims Unit has Olivia Benson had a partner? First correct answer wins the three-minute rule by Brent Pendivic and the comeback by Gary Shapiro, the president of the Consumer Technology Association, the folks behind the annual CES event in Las Vegas, coming back next January. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com, and if you're first with the correct answer, you will win both books. Don't forget also, there's another way you get involved with Marvy Televised. It's our regular feature called The Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that you feel doesn't get enough attention from anybody? We'd like to give it the attention, but we've got to hear from you, and when we do, we'll give you the credit. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you, and the very simple reason why, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. At BTR, our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toth is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. Please make it safe and make it great. And we'll have you back here on Monday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.